Hello, everyone. Today is, I call this Success Saturday, and this will be a series, all of these things, and I'm going to eventually turn it into a book. So I got to think about a title. You know, if you've watched some of these or all of these, everything's in the title. So sometimes someone else has to give you the title. Because again, it's sometimes about reinventing who you are, and that's what we'll be talking about today. And it's like I was listening to Joe Vitale give a talk, and I forget his first little book that did quite well. A publisher picked it up. I forget what the title was, and they renamed it The Attractor Factor. And once that name, that became an international, because he didn't change a word of the book. They just changed the title, and it was just flowing off the shelves. And that's what got him into like The Secret and all that. So I do know from, sometimes people from the outside looking in gives you much better, hey, what about this? What about that? It's what we do as coaches, right? So anyway, today we're going to be talking about reinventing yourself. Last week we talked about, getting that mindset group, a mental mastermind group that's virtual, if you will. And it's been leading down a path if you followed this. And I'll repost like all of the YouTubes in order if people want to watch them. And again, my contact info is main site nfnlp.com. I also have drwillhorton.com. That's about to be relaunched. It's going to be a nice site. I'm going to finally put everything in one place. I'll still have NFNLP because that's the company and the training company, but I'll have Dr. Will Horton, and I have all my addiction stuff, all my coaching stuff, and my personal trainings. NFNLP has everyone's trainings. So, and you can follow me on Instagram and all that. Again, I'm doing this because I'm trying to teach new other people to do this. Whenever you post anything, always put up your info, because it might work. And my tagline lately is the only easy day was yesterday, right? Today we got to do some work. So again, as I always start with, what have I learned new about success in the last week? When you start to think about your personal mental mastermind group or your personal mental buddy list, buddy board kind of thing, whatever it is. And how can I apply this new information? And what's my blocks? What's my coping mechanisms that's keeping me from this? We started with the big one, which is I'm not worthy, I'm not deserving. And then that led into there's a bunch of other little ones that go with it. And then we have these beliefs that support it. Then we had what are some of the rules for success and how to implement some of those. And then we looked at like getting an outside group to help you. Because as they say, you are who you hang out with. So as we get started today, as always, what can I learn new today? How can I grow today? How can I grow today? And what can I do different today than I did yesterday? And last week we talked about your group. And again, this is research for you, your group. It's not gonna probably be politically correct or whatever. I posted a thing of my group, a little board I put together and had all the people on it. And the reason I always say if someone mentions correcting your group or you should add this or you should add that, basically you don't want that kind of person around you in your mental mastermind kind of world, if you will. Because I posted mine, people pointed out it wasn't diverse enough, right? Being politically correct, there's two people of color and no women, and I didn't. And when they pointed it out, I didn't even think about it. But it's like, it's my group. I'm sorry if you don't like it, that you put together your group, right? And again, this goes back to people who support your dreams or would. So when you put your group together, the important thing to remember is who do you think would support you, Or at least in their talks, they talk about being supportive. And this one's private. I posted mine because of the training. But it's not my final group, and it's, this is for you, right? And today we're going to talk about change your self-image. One of my favorite people to read, well, actually listened to. I got all his Audible books. I got his other books too. It's Neville Goddard. And in 1948, he was doing a series of lessons. And he says, there's no one to change but self. That's the lesson that he talked about. And basically the long quote is, there's no one to change but self. That self is simply your awareness, your consciousness, and the world in which it lives is determined by the concept you hold of who you are. You know, because I like to say, if you change your self-image, everything changes. And there's another good book, I forgot to put his name up there, The Magic of Self-Image Psychology by Maxwell Maltz. It was his second book. It was the book right after Psycho-Cybernetics. And he talked about how he was a plastic surgeon, and people would come in to get work done. You know, he's a plastic surgeon. And he always wondered, he'd say, would be stunningly beautiful. I also heard a talk he gave. And he's like, what do they want, right? And they could only see the flaws. I'm like, oh, that's interesting, right? And so, you know, now they'd probably be brought up on medical charges, but some people, he would do a fake surgery and they liked it. And the reason he did that, because he'd done some real surgeries and then people, it still wasn't good enough, right? And that's about, and he started, that's where he started thinking about what's your self-image, you know? It's a good book. Because I like to believe you will rise or fall to your self-image, you know? It's why we see people get success and then destroy it, right? And this is in all areas of your life, in your health, in your wealth, in your physical fitness, in all your relationships, personal, interpersonal, family, work, right? So how or what to change your self-image? That's the secret, right? But is self-image one of the big secrets of the successful? Do they have a successful self-image that's comfortable with being rich, powerful, whatever it happens to be? You know, I don't know. So who's driving? Who or what sets your self-image? You know, is it your childhood? Is it your environment now or a combination? But especially if it leads to low self-worth or feeling unworthy or feeling like a fraud, right? So again, maybe this is set long before your consciousness really develops, your higher level consciousness, you know? But I think I like to say your self-image sets what you will tolerate and accept, you know? As my dear friend, gotta do my thing, my dear friend Tony Robbins says, you know, your life is set by what you tolerate, by what you accept in your life, right? If you accept bullshit, then your life's gonna be it. If you don't, you won't, right? And when you look at high-performing groups, they usually don't accept or tolerate the people that can't carry a certain level of performance. That's why we talked about that. This links back to last week with our mastermind group, our mental mastermind or mental buddy board group. You know, they're going to help coach you up to get you to that level. But if you choose never to rise to that level, you're not going to want to be in that group. You know, the Tony Robbins, the Elon Musk's, who's on my list over there, you know, Schwarzenegger, Stallone, somebody else, and I can't see it. It's out of my, it's just over there. All right. Default to people you currently hang with. Maybe your self-image partially defaults to the group you're with, right? They're high performers. You're going to be a high performer, right? And it's about that metaphor of average. You know, if you got these people and they're high performers, you know, you may not be at their quite level, but you'll be quite good, right? You know, and it's why when you start doing better and better, it sounds cold. You may need to change groups to get to better and, I don't say better and better people, I'm not being judgmental, but people that hold a higher standard, people that hold, want more out of life, right? I used to tell the story of, I've told it before, but I'll tell it again, of a young lady who started doing, she did theater in, I think in high school, college, then didn't, had a career, and then got back into theater, community theater, here in Florida, which there's some excellent community theater. A lot of professional actors retire and do stuff down here. So she got in these shows and she started taking very serious classes. I mean, she took professional singing, professional dance. And she was older, but, you know, she really got into it, right? and was really studying and all that, right? And started auditioning for equity shows and traveling shows. And she made it. She's a full equity actress now. In fact, she was in one of the touring company of Menopause the Musical. Well, anyway, somehow I was talking to her group and her name came up and a couple people, yeah, she just thinks she's better than us. And I'm thinking, she is. She didn't settle for, there's nothing wrong with community theater, but she didn't settle for that. She wanted this and she got there. And so it's a different, you know, and, you know, from talking to her, that she goes, you know, when you're running with that group, it's different, right? So it's that metaphor. So in-shape people hang out with in-shape people. Rich people hang out with rich people. Happy people hang out with happy people. You know, as my dear friend, Dr. Bermonte, Mr. Albert would say, you know, you want to be a working actor, you gotta find classes and get to places where there's working actors. You know, and the great thing about being online now, you don't have to necessarily be in New York, California, or Los Angeles to do that with online classes, online seminars, but event, you gotta hang out with those people. So that's part of your self-image. So, but it's about control, and your needs, values, and beliefs control your life. And this is linked into your self-image. Your self-image is set by your needs, your values, and your beliefs, and your attitudes, and your beliefs, needs, values, and attitudes, and all that help control your self-image, you know? And there's some underlying things. Are you positive? Are you negative? Are you more of a doer or a thinker? I mean, there's all this stuff, and there's no right or wrong, but you can change a lot of this. You know, one of my favorite quotes, between stimulus response, there's a space, and that space is our power to choose our response. In our response lies our growth and our freedom. That's by Viktor Frankl, a psychiatrist who lost not just his whole family, but I think his village, everybody was killed in the Holocaust. And he comes out and spends the next 50 years of his life preaching forgiveness and love, or talking about it and working on it as a psychiatrist. You know, and in that space, we also place meaning. And in that meaning begins to develop our life. Two of us could go through the same experience together and we'll have two different, we'll place different meanings on it, right? And that is what we talk about when it's part of that, your self-image. It becomes part of your guiding filter, you know? Because everything you do seems to filter through your self-image. And so if something happens to you, does it fit? If you do something, does it fit your self-image? If not, you reject it. How many times, not to pick on you, but let's say a friend of yours, they do something off, brilliant. And you give them a compliment and they kind of go, eh, it's not really like me, you know? It's not like me. Yeah. I had a guy work with me once and he ended up becoming a hypnotist, very good hypnotist doing that. And somebody was talking to him. He goes, well, you know, if anything can go wrong, it will go wrong. And this person who was talking to him that worked with me too, said to him like, but you did this great work with these two clients. He goes, yeah, that's not like me. And I'm like, dude, did you hear what you just said? You know, you know, maybe it goes back to, maybe he felt like a fraud when he had this success with other people. And a lot of times in our field of hypnosis, NLP, coaching, therapy in general, a lot of times people begin to have that imposter syndrome, right? They can help other people make the change that they can't make themselves, right? So all of this goes on. But again, your self-image sets what you will tolerate and accept. Will you accept this? Will you tolerate certain behaviors from the people around you, from the situation that you're in, right? And I also like to say, go where you're celebrated or appreciated, not where you're tolerated or ignored, right? You know, someone posted a thing on the, about, you know, don't squeeze in the places that you've outgrown, right? So this is what we're talking about with our self-image. So how do you sell your self-image? How do you change it? Well, first you have to look at what's your self-image now. That's our identity, who we are. But to understand that, you have to look at what supports that, you know, and in NLP, we use the logical level scenario, which we always have these different levels, and they're not really like steps you can go up. One affects the other, but it's good to give a model of how they look. So, you know, your identity is the top, who you are. Well, the actual highest would be your spirituality, but your identity is who you are, which will affect your beliefs and values. That's who I am, that's not who I am. right? That'll explain your capabilities and your skills, right? I can't do that. I can do that. Maybe I could do this, right? Your identity will control that. Have you ever done something in your life that you didn't think you could do, right? And so then you either have to get a new belief or you do the, like that guy I said and start saying, well, that's really not like me, right? I heard an athlete who had a couple good games, and he's being questioned after the game, one of the games. And I mean, he was lighting it up. And one of the reporters asked a question, well, this isn't like you. It's not normally within your capabilities and skill sets. And the guy just ripped into him, right? That, no, this is who I am. This is what I'm capable of. You're just now beginning to see it. That fit his identity. He could have said, well, you're right. It was kind of a one-off. I have a good couple games, right? Just think about that. That's your identity. And it went to his beliefs, which again, your capabilities and skills affect your behavior. You know, what you do, how you do it, when you do it. You know, same with your environment, right? Your environment will control your behavior. You act differently in church than you do in a bar room. You know, we all have that. And all of these interact, right? And a lot of times as coaches, we look at people and we'll say, like, if they're trying to make a change, well, first of all, what can you change in your environment? Can you surround? That's what we're doing last week with the mental buddies, you know, the mental mastermind group, the mental buddy board, right? That's a different environment. You know, if you're putting in these high performers in your mental group, that's going to affect your environment. You're going to want to do better, right? You're going to want to do better. Which will affect your behavior. You'll try harder. Maybe you'll study more. You'll do different things. So your environment affects your behavior. You know, of course, we always know, like, someone's trying to lose weight. They don't need, 2 gallons of Häagen-Dazs ice cream in the freezer and a whole bunch of, you know, candy, right? No, clean out the environment. Change the environment, your behavior changes. And I always default to the addiction world. I always say, change your playmates and your playpens. That's your environment. That is somewhat under control. You know, if it's not totally under control right now, you can change it mentally, you know. You can do that. It's why, again, in the like the recovery world or the addiction world, they suggest people maybe go to 12-step programs. Why? Well, that's where a bunch of people there are doing the same thing you're doing, right? If you want to get in shape, you might want to go to a gym. Yes, you could work out at home, and we had to maybe in this lockdown. But what happens at a gym? People are working out. It's a different environment. And in that environment, behavior is different. Working out is normal, right? And the behavior of working out may not seem to fit in your house. So anyway, your environment and your behavior, and then your capabilities and skills. Sometimes you have to learn new things to change your behavior, right? So all of these levels and your beliefs and values and your attitudes, and it goes up to your identity of who you are. So you kind of see who you are right now. So you look at your environment, your behavior, your capabilities and skills, you know, your beliefs and values, your attitudes, and then your identity. This is who I am, right? And then you want to get a new you, right? What will the new environment be like? So you're standing here now and you picture your environment, right? What would it be like? What would be different in the new environment, right? You know, I'll be hanging around with different people. I'll be doing different things. What new behaviors will you have, right? Which can spill back into, can I do some of those behaviors now? Yeah, I could, right? So I'm standing here and I'm looking at this future me I want. What is that environment going to be? What's the behavior? What behaviors will be different than I do now, right? And again, a lot of this what I tolerate here, I might not tolerate in my new environment. Are there what new capabilities and skills are going to be natural over here that may not be here? So it's going to be a jump, but we're going to get there, right? What new values and beliefs? This is where it gets into when we talked about the rules of success and, you know, those laws that hold you back, the laws of success and those values and beliefs that are negative that hold you back. You know, money is evil, success is bad. You know, it's not spiritual to be rich, powerful, and successful, whatever it is. So you have those. So this new you will have different values, beliefs, and attitudes. And what about, and so my identity will be different, right? And so it's a big jump. So how do you do that? Well, you can create it. And that's one reason we have the mental buddy board, the mental mastermind group. They can help get you there, because a lot of those things, especially beliefs and values, capabilities, skills, behavior, and environment, they're living that lifestyle. You know, they're living, if you want to get into that lifestyle, they're living it. So, you know, you can get there. So, but for many of us, what we need to add is a magical step in between, right? It's not, rather than a huge leap, maybe it's a little step. Because when you go back to this, if it's a huge leap, this is where maybe you see these guys that win the lotto, right? But they haven't changed their identity. Well, their behavior and their environment. Well, their behavior had changed, their environment changed. Now they're like multi-millionaire, right? But they blow it all, right? Or, you know, athlete signs a big contract and, you know, shows up for camp out of shape, doesn't do well, ends up blowing his career, right? And of course, again, I'll default to, you know, like Albert on that, but, he, you know, you see an actor get that breakthrough role. So they move from this actor over here where they're, you know, they're struggling. That's their identity. I'm a real artist, you know, and all that crap. And then they get cast in this breakthrough role, right? But it doesn't align maybe with, I'm a struggling artist. This is what, you know, and in the hypnosis and NLP world, I see that with, you know, some hypnotists will see somebody that's super successful and they'll call them a sellout, right? Or I only do real hypnosis. I don't do weight loss and smoking. I whatever it is, right? So what we might have to do is develop a step between, right? And this could be where you imagine your mental mastermind group helping coach you into changing your identity, your beliefs, your values, your behavior, and your environment. You know, maybe it's a little step. Maybe you just make one or two changes, right? And then one or two more changes, your behavior change. And eventually you get to the bigger steps. I hope that makes sense to everybody, right? But it's like, first you have to look at your where you are now in everything, your identity, all of this, and where you want to be. And like, is there like a halfway point? Is there a point you can kind of merge into it, right? That's part of our homework this week is, you know, and a lot of us, this is where I think, you know, when you look at like law of attraction and you know, or law of creation, whatever it's called, you know, depending who you're talking to, they say, you know, it needs to be exact. Maybe if you do this, it'll make it more exact. But first you got to figure out where you are now, right? Because if you have no starting point, I don't care if you know where the end point is, you kind of have to know where the starting point is, right? If you're going to plot crossing the Atlantic in a boat, you have to know your starting point and your end point. And then you have markers along the way, right? If you don't have GPS, if you're still guiding by the stars. So think about that and have fun with it, right? And here's a Jedi mind trick, right? And people talk about making like affirmations, why affirmations don't work. Well, if you're stuck here where you have a limited mindset, you don't really believe you can make it, you don't think you have the capabilities and skills, you're not worthy of it, you know, so you don't follow through on the behavior, all that. And then you're trying to make these, I am powerful, I'm rich, I attract great people statements, right? Like affirmations. Well, deep underneath your brain, it knows it's not true. So it's going to reject it. So like a Jedi mind trick is, instead of saying, making a statement, don't use I, you could say some people, you know, some people easily attract money. Some people are just successful. Instead of saying I'm successful, some people are. And again, now you have a group you can relate to. They're, you know, you can look at Elon Musk and go, some people just, boy, they can create success after success. PayPal, SpaceX, what that other thing is, oh, the solar thing he's working on, all of this. And you know it's true. Your brain goes, this is true. Some people can do it, right? Some people can put thousands of people in a room and give a talk. Tony Robbins can do it. You know, Brandon Burchard can do it. You know, things like that. Some people just get the good roles if you're trying to be an actor, right? You can do the Tom Cruise, the Scarlett Johansson's, right? And if you say that, right, some people can do whatever it is you want. That's a statement of fact. And if you think good for them, right? And then you begin to think, I can accept this, right? Or I'm a person, right? So some people, and I'm a people's, you know, not to sound that, but it softens it. It begins, to me, that's a backslide into your subconscious. And you're just saying, good for them, great. Some people can do this, right? Some people don't let a setback stop them. Tony Robbins had major setbacks. Elon Musk has said, you know, heck, one of his SpaceX things blew up, right? He's, you know, Tesla cars has some challenges. Now it's, but whatever, but it's like, boom, boom. So if you do this, it's bypasses those critical factors of the mind, right? And again, you got to get in the habit of saying good for them. I posted a thing on there about that football player, Patrick Mahomes, who signed, and I stand corrected, I said $458 million 10-year contract. It's $503 million, half a billion dollar contract, right? And I posted that, and I posted a picture of supposedly the car that one of the ministers drives, one of those prosperity ministers, just to say, what's your first, when you see that, what's your first thing, right? And if, and a dear lady, Debbie Harris pointed out, she goes, her first thing was, think about all the money that could, you know, feed kids or, you know, buy computers for underprivileged people. But, you know, then the Kansas City Chiefs paying that man $500 million over 10 years has nothing to do with putting computers in schools in Miami or whatever, right? Or whatever. I can never think of the guy's name that I posted his picture driving. He supposedly drives that Ferrari, you know. That has nothing to do. That's a lack mentality. So if you train your, and again, what are you telling your subconscious mind? People aren't worth it, right? People aren't whatever it is, right? So you have to begin to trick yourself by, one of those tricks is always saying, well, good for them, you know, good for them. Joel Ornstein, that was it. Somebody posted it, I think that was.
I saw that post.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought you were right now referring to the athlete who got paid the ton of money.
Well, I'm talking about both of them, yeah.
Yes, yes. Yeah, Joel, yeah. Ornstein, everyone, yeah. Well, not everyone.
Big smile, yeah. Drives a Ferrari. Well, good, yes. For him, you know, has a private plane. Good for him.
I think that's where the problem lies in society, Will, if I may ask a quick question, is that spiritual people are meant to not show off their wealth. If you're a motivational speaker, yes, make all the money you want. So that's the kind of...
Well, see, you're making a judgment on whether spiritual people should show off their wealth.
That's what I'm saying. That's where we are in society.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Good point. Yeah. Yeah. Right. But again, I always flip it back to what's it say to your subconscious mind if you condemn it. Right. And it's like, interesting, you know. It's to say some people instead of I, you know, because, you know, if your bank account is negative, your cupboards are empty, the gas tank's about empty, and you're making this, you know, affirmation, your mind might go, that's not true, you know. But if you could make the statement, some people come out of debt and become super wealthy. I think a good one for everybody to be saying right now, if you're trying to redo your business, is, you know, some people excel in down times. That's a statement of fact. I mean, I forget, one time they always post, in down times, more long-term wealth is created. Right? Businesses start that, whatever. Yeah, I think it's true. I saw a post. I mean, God knows the internet would not lie to us, ladies and gentlemen. We all know the internet, you know. I read, you know, Abraham Lincoln said that's the truth. So, tough crowd. I'm here till Friday. So begin to do this, right? That's just one of the mind tricks, right? Okay, excuse me. Boom. Here's something we can take from performing artists, right? Which works in the real world. You know, actors talk about how costumes put one in character. Change how you look, that costume or your mask, it changes who you are, right? The other day I was in an acting class, and the actor that was teaching it, very celebrated Broadway guy and all that stuff, anyway, he talked about how he was preparing to play Einstein in some play or something. And he was working on the cat, working on the character. And it's going fine. He's developing. And then they come in and they give him his wig. You know, that crazy Einstein. We've all seen pictures of his white hair all over the place, right? And this actor has doesn't have a big mop of hair anyway. So he puts this wig on, right? And he said at that moment, everything changed. How he looked at the character, how he thought, because he put it on, looked in the mirror, and it changed everything. And it, you know, and it was a great performance, great, you know, for the run of the show. You know, there's one of Sir, who played Ian McKellen. Anyway, he talks about when he puts on a costume, that's when he develops his character, right? So what if we take that from actors, performers, you know, and writers talk about it, stepping into the character, right? And is it possible that your mask, because we all have different masks, we could talk about how we all have different masks. You're a dad, maybe you're a mom, you're a brother, a son. I mean, we have different masks. And when you're in that character, you're going to act a little bit differently, right? And maybe we need to create a new mask or a new character, a new costume. And eventually, it'll become real, right? And again, you can think of real life examples. Becoming a parent, those of us that when you had your first child, it was, you had to create a new character. You were going to be a dad or a mom. It was different. How do you do this? Right? You know, it's different. A friend of mine talks about, he's a medical doctor, and he talks about how it took him a while to feel comfortable with saying he was a doctor. I mean, he'd been through medical school, been through his residency and all that, you know, was doing the doctor things. And then, you know, how long does it take? And in our world, for all my friends that are hypnotists and NLPers, from the time you took your first hypnosis class or NLP class, how long did it take for you to comfortably say, I'm a hypnotist? Right? And I see people been in this field for years that they'll still tap dance around, I'm a therapist, right? They won't say I'm a hypnotist, right? Well, yeah. Can you say it? How long did it take? Maybe that's how it worked through all those levels of consciousness, right? And maybe what begins to happen is we slip back to old masks. We slip back to the mask we were given in childhood of feeling not good enough, not worthy, right? And in sports, they talk about putting on your game face, you know, can you put on your game, what's your game face, right? I think in the movie, Full Metal Jacket, they talked about your war face, show me your war face, right? And Albert just posted method acting is a great example getting into character, right? Actors who play characters as limps, they put rocks in their shoes to make it real, so it becomes real. Right? So what if you're changing your, what's going to be different about this new you, right? And most of it's going to be on the inside, but is something going to be different on the outside, right? Is something going to be different on the outside? It's just somebody give a talk on this. I think it was Tony Robbins, my dear friend, Tony Robbins, to do my thing again. But he was talking to somebody about this, and they said, no, not much will change. And they go, well, if you really became a multi-millionaire, would you drive the exact same car you drive now? Would you live in the same house? And you might say yes. You know, you might say, well, hell no, I'm moving to a better neighborhood. I'm getting a bigger house. Would you shop at Walmart? Right? And it took him a while. I remember he's working with this person because finally he kind of said, well, you know what? If nothing in your life is going to change, why the fuck do you want the money? You know, if you're still going to shop at Walmart, buy a 20-year-old car, live in a 1,000-square-foot house, why the fuck do you want to be a millionaire? I remember him saying that. The guy looked at him. He goes, you're living that way now, and you're comfortable with it. You're never going to change. And he says, well, I would like to buy my wife a nice car. What kind of car? And then the guy started, Tony's good at what he does, right? Then he got him, but it took a while because, you know. So you know, let's develop our new character. Part of it's a character, because then you can develop into it. Just like, and when I say this, one time I was teaching it, people wanted to get into a philosophical thing. I go, well, how long did it feel comfortable for you to feel like you're a dad? You know, if you had a kid, you know, I mean, is it only me that I was terrified that I had this baby I had to take care of, you know, change his diaper. I was totally responsible for another human being. And after about 3 weeks, my wife went back to work midnight. She was a nurse at the time. It was my my ex-wife. And so I had to take care of the baby all night. And, you know, that little thing didn't come with an owner's manual. Right? I'm like, what do I do at 2 o'clock in the morning? She goes, you'll figure it out. You know, it's like, I wasn't around kids. I was the youngest in the family, literally. So it's like, and I, you know, I guess I did fine. She's still alive. I didn't kill her. But how long does it take? So you begin to develop that character through time. And this is your characteristics. If we could change the word to characteristics, right? So again, what's this new you going to be? What's going to be different? So again, I guess our homework this week is go back to our logical levels and look at where you are now, right? Where you are now, you know, your identity, your beliefs, values, attitudes, all that, go back to this thing, back to this one, right? This is what we want to do. We want to, especially these two, identify your identity, who you are now, you know, and you might have some things you want to change, especially at the value, at the level of values, beliefs, and attitudes. We're working on that, getting, feeling worthy, feeling good enough, knowing I have the capabilities and skills. I may need new ones, but knowing I have what I need now, right? Well, you know, so you develop all of the, what's my environment like now? What's my behavior? Then when I look at the future, what's that environment going to be? You know, if you know, what are you going to change in your environment? What about your behaviors, your identity, skills? You know, you might add the jump step. That's our homework, because if you do that, then you begin to get to the level where you're really making those change, right? So what's your current levels? What are your goals? Are there steps in between? Does your mental mastermind or your buddy board group have what you want, right? And you can do some research. That's the great thing about the internet, especially if you put people on there that have lived and, you know, that have done stuff in the last 20 or 30 years, there's probably video, audio, stuff you could find on it. Well, in fact, the last 50 years, right? So you can do research. And if not, you can just imagine it, right? What is this person, this mastermind group going to be to help you? And if you really want to have fun, if you go to somewhere where people don't know you and become the new you, see what that's like, right? See what that's like. And that's because I see it here in Florida. Sometimes people moving to Florida forget they have a great advantage. If they're moving down here to Florida, or if you're moving anywhere from where you live, and you're not going to a place where a lot of people know you, you don't have better friends or family, think about how easy it is to totally reinvent yourself. You know, people up in New York, they know you as this insurance agent and da-da-da-da-da. You move to Florida, they don't know you. Whatever you say, people are going to probably believe, because you're a blank slate. When you make this kind of change, the reason I say that is your friends, family, and people around you will be the ones that will want to pull you back if you're creating a new you, because they have a reference point. Where if you meet a stranger, they don't know you. So they're going to accept you as you are, right? So you might do that where, and I've heard actor, again, I defer to actors, they talk about putting on the character and then going somewhere and practicing it. Hopefully you're not playing Hannibal Lecter. That would be a different thing. But, you know, like even a little thing, right? I tried it once where when I was working on the other coast, I was taking a class, I'm gonna do this, and I can't do it right now. But I got a little bit of an Irish lilt going, you know? And so when I got the Irish lilt going, I would go to places. I didn't know anybody there. I didn't live on that coast of Florida. And other than the people I worked with during the day, I didn't know people around me. So I'd go somewhere like to a different gym, start working out, and people ask me a question. I would try to make a mental note, don't break character, just like in a play, and use the Irish lilt. You know, I'm not a terrorist. I'm a freedom fighter. It's the damn Brits that do everything. And it's not a good one, but I was consistent, and I did this for a couple of days. And it worked. It worked, right? Because the people that didn't know me, they just assumed I was Irish. You know, how long you been here? People started asking me that. How long you been in the country? What part of Ireland are you from, right? The only person that after a couple of days when I did it at this one gym, what are the odds? This one person who was Irish and had a real Irish accent said, I can't quite place where your accent's from. And I said, well, that's because it's from Gary, Indiana. I'm just, yeah. Yeah, Albert just said, if you have an audition, you don't practice your dialect or an accent the day of the audition. It becomes second nature, right? And again, you talk about how things rub off, and then I'll stop the recording. You know, I spent all my summers growing up in Mississippi as a child, and my family was from Mississippi. And in fact, half my family still lives in Mississippi or Alabama or Louisiana. So they have a little bit of that Southern drawl thing going on. And when you get me around my cousins, when I went up for my uncle's funeral, it just came right back. And you talk about hanging around with certain people, how it can rub off, right? Accents, you know. But if it works there, would it work for your attitudes, your values, your beliefs, your behavior? So try this, right? If you have the chance, go somewhere you don't normally go and be different, you know, and see what happens. So next week, we're going to have some more fun. I'll put the post out a couple of times for everybody, and it's one of two things. I don't know which order I'm doing the next two things, so I don't want to say what it is. But one of them is going to be some other mental techniques to help flip your attitude quickly. So that's it for this right now. Hold on, let me stop the recording. There we go. Sorry.